early church only had overhead projectors. You know. Which occasionally went wrong, but you know, this is how it is. It's just been one of those mornings. I mean, Joel broke a string, we had to play everything in D. But it doesn't matter, because it's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, are you feeling alive? Good. Good, 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 good. I was listening to Bill Johnson recently, and I was listening to him preach, and he told a story, and I was quite moved by it, really, so I thought I'd tell it to you. And he told a story about a couple. He told a story about a couple who went to the Holy Land, and they decided to take her mother, his mother-in-law, there. And they went to the Holy Land, and while they were there, she died. I know. And so he didn't know what to do, so he went to the funeral guy and said, you know, what can I do? And he said, well, there's two options, really. We can take her back to America for $5,000, or she can be buried here for $150. What would you like to do? $5,000, $150? He said, I don't know, I've really got to think about it. And he said, well, $5,000, you're crazy. $150 can be buried here. So he said, I'm going to have to go away and think about it. So he went away and thought about it and came back. And he said, well, what have you decided? He said, well, I've decided to spend $5,000 to have her taken back to America. And the Jewish funeral director said, are you mad? Why would you spend $5,000 and not $150 to be buried here in the beautiful Holy Land? And he said, well, 2,000 years ago, a man died and was buried here in the Holy Land. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So I just can't take that chance. Thank you very much. Now, there was much debate about that joke, because Karen vetoed it. But then I had it approved by an elder. So, there you go. Hey, you've all come to life. Praise the Lord. Well, it is Easter. Easter has special memories for me. Not 2,000 years ago, but 42 years ago, Easter weekend. Who was not alive then? 42 years ago, Easter weekend, I decided to go out into Trowbridge, into my favourite bar called Pee Wee's. Yes, some of you know it. Do you know it, Jean? <All right. laughs> And while I was there, it was Good Friday, April the 9th, 1982. I walked in, and through the mist of there, yeah, it was. I saw a light coming through the corner. And it was Karen. And, yes, so I went over and spoke to her, which annoyed my girlfriend. And I got her phone number, which annoyed her even more. But I previously knew Karen, but it just so happened that that was when I met Karen, and Karen told me the gospel, and, yes, and 2 weeks later, I phoned her up. I had this little bit of paper in my pocket with a phone number, 6176. That was all you had in those days, if you remember. And that was the point that I heard the gospel. And you often think, if I hadn't have gone out that night, if Karen hadn't been dragged out that night by her brother, what would, you know, it's amazing. 42 years later. So never be afraid to go and share the gospel with people, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. So you have to be out there. You have to be out there. We talk about keeping the world out of the church, but we don't want to keep the church out of the world, because we need to be there to share the gospel and to tell the good news. So here we are. Christos Anesti. Yes. So incredible things that happened 2,000 years ago that we celebrate today. But what happened 2,000 years ago, you have to decide, and everybody has to decide, did that really happen or not? Or was it just a made-up story? And that was the question that I was faced 42 years ago. Was this person, Jesus, a real person and knows things that happened, or was it just a made-up story and everyone had been deceived and lied? But here we are today proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And many of us in this room have experienced a resurrected Jesus in their lives and in your lives. And you know that. You may not feel it today, but if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within you, he will quicken and give life to your mortal body, which is what I was quoting this morning because the clocks went back or forwards. Wait, they went forwards. I changed my clocks yesterday just to be prepared. But there's a couple of passages I want to share with you. I'm going to show you three things that Jesus said, okay? So this is... Hecklers. John's Gospel, right at the beginning of John's Gospel, Jesus said this, okay? Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" This massive temple, the Temple of Herod, it had taken 46 years, and it wasn't finished. And you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple that he spoke of was his body. The temple he was speaking about was the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. Jesus said that in 3 days that he was going to be raised from the dead. And then in John 11:25, the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said to her, to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? That's what he said. Do you believe this? At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Even though we die, we will live. We can live now and we will live forever. And then something else that Jesus said in John 5, and this is very interesting because this relates to everybody who has ever, ever lived. Everybody. Jesus said this, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming." A time is coming. When Jesus said a time is coming, do you know what that means? Okay. A time is coming. It means a time is coming when all who are in their graves, all who are in their graves will hear his voice. Everyone will hear his voice. And you know what will happen? Jesus said, and they will come out. They will come out of their graves. Those who have done good will rise to live. But those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. That is what Jesus said. He said that everybody will be raised. Everybody will hear his voice. And for everybody, there is an eternal destiny. And we all have a choice to make. And it's very interesting because when Jesus died on the cross, something incredible happened. I mean, the greatest event that ever happened in the history of the world is Jesus died on the cross for us, that we can be forgiven of our sins and we can live a life in him, a life full to the joy, a life forever with him, filled with the Holy Spirit by the grace of God that comes to us and the mercy of God that was shown to us. And in Matthew 27, it said this, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, this is when he's on the cross, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The dividing curtain that separated us from God was torn, not by man, but it was torn by God. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs opened and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. I don't hear many messages spoken about that, but it's the most incredible thing that happened when Jesus died. Is that there was an earthquake. The earth shook, and people, some people came out of the tombs. Some holy people came out of the tombs. We don't know who they were. We don't know who they were. And what happened to them? Did they go back into the tombs? I believe they ascended into heaven. They were taken with Jesus. But what we do know from Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said about David that his tomb was there to that day. It hadn't been broken open. But an incredible thing that happened, which gives us the, you know, it gives us a glimpse of what's going to happen at the end times of the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection. Because the Greek word resurrection, anastasi, means to stand up again. That you will stand up again. The same Jesus that was crucified stood up again into life. Glorified, changed, but the same Jesus. And he made a point of showing people his hands and his side. He said to Thomas, you know, stick your fingers in there. Put your fingers in there. It's me. It's me. I am alive. When he was eating with them, and he said, give me something to eat. And he ate. It was the same Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And we are all going to experience that resurrection. Something to look forward to, isn't it? And then in Matthew 27, 62-64. Now this is really quite important, and this is a real point I want to make. The next day, after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. They had remembered what Jesus had said. Jesus had said that he was going to rise again. They knew it from the scriptures that he said that he was going to rise again. So they said to Pilate, so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. So Jesus has said, disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Now, at this point, I had a really nice picture. But I can tell you what happened, okay? This is what they did, and this often gets missed. So what happened was, is that when they rolled the stone across the tomb, they put a rope across the front of the stone and nailed it on both sides. And on both sides, they put wax, and it was sealed with the seal of Pilate. Okay? And then they put guards at the front because they said they were worried that the disciples were going to come and steal the body. They were probably also worried that he was going to be raised from the dead. So they wanted to keep him in. So there was a seal put across the tomb, which is, for me, represents the seal of the world trying to keep Jesus in the tomb. The seal of the Roman Empire trying to keep the tomb firmly, firmly shut so that no one can come out and no one can go in. If anybody broke that seal, the penalty would be death. That's how serious it was. To break the seal of Pilate, it would have been death. So the tomb was sealed, very, very secure, and there was guards on the front. And seals are very interesting because in Revelation, if you look at Revelation 5, 1 to 2, John said this, "Then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw the mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?'" That was the scroll, that was the seals that were set in place by God, which only Jesus could break because he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the Lamb of God. But the very, very first seal that was broken was the seal of the world, which Pilate put across the tomb, which the world put across. That was the first seal that was broken. And that's what happened on that morning. And the incredible thing that took place. And we know this. It says, "After the Sabbath at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it." Okay? The angel came down and broke the seal. The angel came down and rolled the stone away. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. But okay, we can give them that one. It was probably quite frightening. Can you imagine? The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has..." Amen. "Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said to them. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Who were the first people to encounter Jesus after the resurrection and worship him? The women. The women. You don't realize how controversial that is in first century Jewish culture. Then he said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee where they will see me." So the women were the first ones to witness the resurrection. Do you know in the first century, a woman's testimony was worth 1/10 of a man? It would take 10 women in court to have the testimony of one man. And yet God changed everything around in his culture and society of the day. Do you know the other incredible thing about this? And this is the question for you. Okay. Did the angel roll the stone away for Jesus to get out? Joel asked me that question this morning. We were talking about it. Or did he roll the stone away so people could get in and have a look? What do you reckon? Huh? That is a big stone. Very big stone. I mean, it took an angel to roll it away. But where was Jesus? Was he in the tomb at that point? Or had he already gone? Jesus was ahead. The angel came and broke the seal of the world and the seal of Pilate. The seal that wants to keep Jesus in the tomb. But Jesus is already gone. He's legged it. The resurrected Jesus, we know from later on in Scripture, the physical resurrected Jesus was not confined by physical walls. We know that because he suddenly appeared with the disciples. He suddenly entered the room, even though the door was locked. You can't keep Jesus out. I think it's in Jerusalem, the Golden Gate. You know, they've got the tombs at the front of the Golden Gate. They've bricked it up to stop Jesus getting back in, if he comes back in. It's not going to work. This incredible thing that happened changed the world forever and changed your lives forever. And you need to take that into context when looking at your life and looking at the future. Because Jesus is alive. He is alive. So the women went and told the disciples. And then it says this, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. Now, that was a big thing to say, because if they were sleeping and the body would have been stolen and the seal would have been broken, they would have been put to death. But they bribed them and said, we'll give you money if you keep this story. If this report gets out to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. And that was written about 40 years after the event. So that's what Matthew said. Go and make up a story. We don't want this to get out. But what about us? What about us? What does it mean for us? Now, you're all here today. You're all here. You've decided not to go for a walk, or some may have done. But you're all here today because you want to be here, because we worship him and we acknowledge him as Lord. Paul makes a declaration, and this is a really important declaration. And he says this, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. Okay, I want to remind you of the gospel that you have received, in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. Amen? By this gospel, you are saved. If. There's an if after that. Have you ever noticed that? By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. What does that mean? Well, you can discuss that in your life groups. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom, this was some Christians who die. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, also to one abnormally born. Jesus appeared to his disciples, to those who were his followers, to those who loved him. And then Paul said, he appeared to me, also one who has been born from above, who has been born again. And we know that happened on the road to Damascus. And then Paul says later on, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep who have lost. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. And I know what you're going to say. Well, your preaching is useless anyway. That is how important this is. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Full stop. There's no debate about it. Everything is around the resurrection of Jesus. Because by his resurrection, he has conquered death and sin and has given us new life. And by his resurrection, we also have a resurrection. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will change. We will be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, we are going to experience that resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees our resurrection for those of us who are in Christ. Something to look forward to. We have that guarantee of that resurrection, physical resurrection into glory for eternity. Do you know you are going to spend eternity in your physical body? You're not going to float around on a cloud like some sort of spirit playing a harp. You know, the triune God created a triune man, and you will be raised physically. Eternal destinies are physical. And that's what Paul says. So we have a lot to look forward to, and we have a lot to rejoice in. And so we need to live our lives in a way which is worthy of him who gave his life for us, who was raised from the dead. You know, a lot of people see religion as dead. Dead, boring, lifeless. We have the life of Christ within us, and we need to transmit that life to others. Revelation, it says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. And then John said, I saw him. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. Jesus said, I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. He has the keys. He has the power over them. of death and Hades. Death takes the body, Hades takes the soul. But he is the living one who holds the keys. Thanatos, Hades, he has the power and he has the keys. So what does that mean? Romans says this: the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? What words? If you confess with your mouth, and if you've never done this, this is something you need to think about. If you've never been saved, never given your life to the Lord, you could have come to church for 40, 50 years, but not have a relation with Jesus, but just have a relation with religion. But if you want to come into that relationship with him, Paul says this, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And remember, when he wrote this, people were being ordered to say, Caesar is Lord. But he was saying, no, Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. We do not believe in a dead God. People can take you to where they believe their God died and is still dead. Paul in Athens said, you've got all your gods here, but you've got one unknown, and I'm going to tell you what that one is. He is the God of all, who God raised him from the dead. We do not live in a dead religion. Our God is alive. Our God walks through walls. He does. Our God is here now. He lives within us. And he lives within us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. This is how the physical Jesus can live in each one of us and have a one-to-one relationship with us outside of time, because he's not controlled or restricted by time, with everybody across the face of the earth for your whole life until you see him. He lives within you by the Holy Spirit. Our God is a God who is living, the living God. And we need to be living people. And we need to radiate the resurrected life. Paul ends in Corinthians and he says this: therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, that word is brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. So within our lives always, live your lives worthy of your calling. The resurrected Jesus lives within you, and he is alive forevermore, and he is Lord. Amen? Amen. Sure? Yes. Really sure? Yes. Amen. Praise God.
Okay, well, a powerful message there. And if that has affected you, or you do want to respond to that, then some of the leaders of the church will be around here at the front. And if you do want prayer, then now is a good time to have that prayer and so for somebody to pray with you. If you want to respond to that message of the good news that comes with the resurrection of Jesus, then there's never a finer time on Easter Day to commit your life to Jesus. If you want prayer for healing, then again, there will be people here who will be happy to pray with you. But if everybody else, there is tea, coffee, biscuits, and a chance to have a chat and catch up. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you.